Hi, and welcome to the Steve Halpern with Super Aging Podcast. I hope my audience had a great Thanksgiving. Not too hungover still from the turkey. Well, it's a couple of days, so you won't be hungover. So what are we going to talk about today? We're going to talk about some very, very important things. I've said this over and over again in the podcast. You are not a victim of your genes. You can change your genes. It's called nutrigenomics. You can change the expression in your microbiome. Even the oral cavity has its own microbiome, nasal cavity, possibly the eyes. Very, very, very important. Please be very careful about mouthwashes. They found that it can really upset the natural microbiome, oral microbiome, which is so important for immunity. It's important for dental health. So maybe rinsing with some green tea or just rinsing. I mean, there's so much nonsense about mouthwashes. In fact, Listerine. Do you know what Listerine originally was? It was a treatment for dandruff. I bet you didn't know that. Using a dandruff product for your mouthwash. That's really wonderful. Oh, speaking of dental health, there's an old study that was done on vitamin D and children and the preponderance of cavities. And they found there's a direct correlation between sufficient vitamin D and cavities. So make sure you get your child's levels checked. If they're very, very young, I would do a minimal dose of vitamin D. Even 800 units would be fine. So that vitamin D is so important for dental health, and your microbiome in your mouth is very, very important. There's even a lung microbiome. Can you imagine? And I talked about in a previous podcast how important it is to try and avoid air pollution. In fact, I just ordered online a particle mask to filter out some of the particles. Because if you're an athlete or if you're walking around and it's in traffic, you're going to pull in these particles into your lungs. And so that's not really something you want. Now, some homework you can do. Very, very, very important. I had a patient who, unfortunately, he did everything right. He helped found the Roadrunners. He was skinny. He was an athlete. But for whatever reason, he developed cardiovascular disease. Maybe we'll find out in the future why. You know, there's so many reasons with hardening the arteries. And he was having problems with balance, even though he seems to have made a fairly decent recovery, even though he didn't get a stent. And you might do a search on Mildronate. Mildronate was banned from the Olympics because it was a performance-enhancing compound, and the athlete was using it. And yet, it's one of the most prescribed drug, if you want to call it, behind, in Eastern Bloc countries. Over 100,000 people have been using it, and it does some very, very interesting things. It can improve cardiovascular function, post-stroke, blood circulation to the brain, and with very, very minimal side effects. And it's available on Amazon. And I think if you have someone who has a concern about early Alzheimer's or senility or heart failure, it might be something you might look at and consult with a very open doctor about its use. I think it makes, you always have to balance risk versus benefit, and there's very, very little risk. So something you might look up called Mildronate, because everything isn't in the nutraceutical category. I mean, what I can tell you right offhand is that in the future, we'll discover thousands of active compounds, plant-based compounds, that have potent effects. And so right now, trying to include as many plant-based berries and legumes and all those nice, what we call polyphenol ingredients, that again, mostly found in berries and tea, but very, very important for wellness. And, you know, when they've done surveys, dietary surveys, you know, having a little fruit cocktail really doesn't count. Even though fruit cocktail was nice, you know, grew up on fruit cocktail, it tasted really sweet. Did I know it had bisphenol hormones lining the can? Who knew? I mean, it's amazing that the big change was with fast food. I remember growing up, I'm a senior, I mean, things were home cooked. And then the fast food came in, you know, and of course, you know, with fast food, it has to be preserved. So there's all sorts of preservatives in there, you know, it's transported long distances, and it has to be made to look nice. So again, my advice, eat a plant-based diet. It's so, so important. I can't repeat this more times. And again, one of my favorite compounds is cinnamon, Ceylon cinnamon, because regular cinnamon can contain some compounds you don't want. And I've seen very interesting results. Weight loss in myself and on clients because the cinnamon can work on insulin resistance. You know, insulin resistance is when you get that central obesity. You do not want that central obesity. You know, weight's a problem, but if it tends to be, you know, carried in the hips, it's not the same as if it's around your belly button. Now, remember, the fat you see on the outside is going to be fat lining your organs, and that's not a good thing. Okay, now we'll move on to the subject of resveratrol. And unfortunately, to get the therapeutic effect, you got to take really large amounts. But, you know, nutrients are very, very interesting. And if you somehow combine it with other nutrients, you can get a therapeutic effect much lower dose. And so I like resveratrol, but I like to take it as part of a mixed formula. You know, there's also the analog. You know, analog is a mirror image of a compound called prostaglandin, which, you know, some companies now including, they're mixing with NAD. And it seems to have some interesting anti-aging effects, cardiovascular effects. By the way, getting to this whole intermittent fasting, as I've spoken previously, intermittent fasting, you can do it waiting as long as you can the next day to eat, or actually, you know, maybe 1 or 2 or 3 days a week, eating very, very lightly or fasting. Now, that's great because it cleans up the cells. It really does. I mean, there are two processes. It's called, one is called autophagy and apoptosis. Apoptosis programs cell death. And autophagy is the cleaning out of the cell. And when you don't eat, that's what happens. Imagine that. But now here's the key. If you choose to do that on those other days, make sure you're getting sufficient protein, because you need the protein to, again, now stimulate new cells and new stem cells. You can make carbohydrate, you can make fat, but you can't make protein. Now, you don't have to get crazy with protein. For, say, a 140-pound individual, moderate activity, 60 to 70 grams of protein. 67 grams of protein. And you can modify that number slightly at a higher weight. And, you know, a search on Google will turn up, just put into Google search, you know, the amount of protein necessary on a daily basis. You don't need huge amounts. I'm not a big fan of all these protein powders and whatnot. Now, what I choose to do, because I'm still not convinced of this whole egg issue. Eggs are good, eggs are bad. And what do? And so I always like to go in the middle. So I'll get organic egg whites just to go in the middle. I'm still not convinced of this whole fat issue. Fat is good, fat is good. Because most of us have enough fat. Now, essential fatty acids, yes, that's important. You know, I think the fish oils are really, really important. And, you know, some of the fatty acids you get from monounsaturated fatty acids that you would get from olive oil, that's fine. Make sure it's not, the fat, you know, there's a lot of fake olive oil out there. I was watching a video documentary, and because olive oil tends to be expensive, they'll water it down. So make sure you know where the source of your olive oil is coming from. Real grade olive oil. And interesting bit of folklore. You know, my grandfather, who lived way, way into his 90s and really got sick, was a big fan of garlic. Now, we know garlic can have antibacterial qualities, and that's really a good thing. And if you can handle garlic, it's certainly something you might take as part of your immune support and detoxification of sulfur amino acids. What my grandfather used to do is he'd wear the garlic cloves around his neck. Okay, well, first of all, people didn't come too close, so he didn't have to worry about, you know, getting sick from somebody else. But interesting enough, they did some test tube studies, and they found that there was a certain area around the Petri dish that you didn't see the growth of the viruses. So, I mean, sometimes it's folklore. You know, often this folklore makes sense because people were practicing what we call functional experimental medicine. I mean, look, think about Chinese medicine or Ayurvedic medicine. There weren't double-blind, placebo-controlled studies. There was experiential. And depending on if there was a result or not, it became part of the medical system. They didn't always know why. I mean, they made up, and I still think to this day, you know, the explanations of Chinese medicine or in Ayurvedic medicine, you know, they're part of the culture, but they don't really get into, you know, the biochemistry of these items. And yet, when we test traditional, many traditional formulas, they, you know, are validated scientifically. Certainly, you know, turmeric or curcumin, you know, astragalus, you know, the ginsengs. Speaking of ginseng, remember, there's Asian ginseng and there's Siberian ginseng. Siberian ginseng is not truly ginseng. It's more of an adaptogenic herb, like rhodiola. You know, we call it, adaptogenic to help people adapt. So I think we're in a new era of people testing medicine, just, or what I call nutraceuticals, because people get to share their experiences. And I think if enough people truly experience a result with something, it's worth trying, okay? Because remember, we all have individual biochemistries and individual genetic systems. And so it's hard to extrapolate. Even when studies are done, we don't know how representative that group is of the entire population. So I advise my clients to do their homework and do some self-experimentation and see how something affects you. If you take it, you don't feel good. Now, we used to have an explanation I don't know how valid it was. You take something, or you're a practitioner and you give someone something and they don't feel well. So what do you call it? You call it a Hexheimer reaction. Oh my goodness, they're clearing the system or whatever. I can't find any real scientific validation for Hexheimer. I think it just didn't agree with the person. Okay? And so, respect that. Respect the fact that certain things at any given time might not work for you, even though it works for a friend or neighbor. By the way, I did see some interesting research on a beer, dark beer happened to be, specifically dark beer they mentioned, rich in probiotics. Okay, so I mean, probably also the hops, but you got to take a lot of the hops to get a therapeutic response from the hops. So maybe a little beer might help your microbiome, and I guess more beer might not be a good idea. This whole idea of addictions being psychological, purely psychological. And, Roger Williams, the father of modern, vitamins, discovered more vitamins than any other scientist. And what he would do, he didn't know about nutrigenomics and he didn't know about a lot of the things, but he would repeat animal experiments. And he found that he could create an addicted animal, alcoholic animal, or even a drug, a drug addiction animal, by stressing the cage, not having the animal sleep, stress. Okay, so there's a psychological component, but then there was the added sugar. And when there was lots and lots of sugar, eventually, maybe 2 weeks or a little bit more, that animal would now prefer the substance, whether it was alcohol or narcotic, to food. So you created an alcoholic or an addicted animal. And I think it's very, very, very important, that this be a consideration. I think we're in a wonderful era of anti-aging science. Staying healthy now at any age probably is going to offer some great opportunities in the future as we learn more and more about preventing age-related diseases and possibly prolonging longevity. I advise clients, and I'm certainly going to do this myself, of storing your stem cells. Because remember, if you store stem cells now, say you're like 35, 40, 50, whatever. Okay. Those stem cells are going to stay at that age. So if in the future you need some stem cell treatment, your own stem cell treatment, there's going to be a much, much better response to young stem cells. And that's why also a lot of women now are storing cord blood, baby teeth, because those can be, again, there's nothing better than your own stem cells. So do a little homework. It didn't seem to be all that expensive storing stem cells, and it's certainly on my list. So we've covered different topics today. Please subscribe because, again, I do lots and lots of daily research and put it into my podcast. And it excites me when I see either questions, comments, or people subscribing. So enjoy the holiday season, and thank you so much for listening.